Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. In 1978, a small group of Americans living in Geneva founded an organization called American Citizens Abroad. The purpose of ACA was, and still is, to represent the interests of the estimated 7.5 million United States citizens living outside the U.S., and today it's probably the foremost advocacy group in that field worldwide. Ordinary Americans living abroad don't always have an easy life due to a number of what are seen as discriminatory laws and regulations. Indeed, many Americans back home are even suspicious of them. The latest issue, which is being seen as the biggest threat to Americans abroad, is a law called FATCA, the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, which is scheduled to take effect on January 1, 2013. FATCA has been criticized as unworkable by some major non-U.S. banking, financial, and business institutions, and the Chinese are among those who say they will not comply with it. If the acronym FATCA reminds you of the pejorative term fat cat, a reference to excessively wealthy people, you might be right, because it is suspected that this may well be the image that official Washington has of Americans living abroad. At this moment, ACA is waging a war against FATCA with the aim of getting it repealed. In a phrase, FATCA would seem to be turning the American dream into a nightmare, at least for American citizens living abroad. FATCA and its impact is the subject of this program. Joining me from ACA headquarters in Geneva are Mary Louise Serrato, Executive Director of ACA, Jackie Bunyon, an ACA Director and Team Leader on Taxation, and Anne Hornung-Sukup, the ACA Team Leader on Banking Issues. Also joining us there in the background is Ron Banks, an ACA director responsible for media and public relations, and we'll be speaking to him later on. Mary Louise, before we go on to the issue of FATCA per se, tell us a little bit more about why ACA was founded in 1978 and the main issues facing Americans living abroad.
ACA was founded in 1978 as an outgrowth of another organization that was interested in citizenship rights for children born overseas to American parents overseas, primarily those who had residency issues in terms of passing on their U.S. citizenship to their children. And as a result, the organization over successive years and as legislation was passed in the United States vis-a-vis the overseas American citizen, the issues grew. Primarily, the issues that ACA deals with are taxation and banking, representation, voting, citizenship, and Medicare and Social Security. Our primary issues right now that we've been focusing a lot of attention on are obviously on taxation and banking, both of which are affected by the FATCA legislation that we're going to talk about today.
Jackie Bunyon, let's get on to your favorite subject, FATCA, which is top of the list of the problems at the moment. First of all, very, very quickly, what is FATCA? What is the idea behind it? And then let's get on to those main provisions that upset you so much.
Well, FATCA was passed and became legislation in March 2010. It was passed as part of the Hire Bill, and the stated aim of FATCA is to prevent tax evasion. So it was sold to Congress on these terms. It was very little discussed in committee at the time, and its main provisions are the following. It wants to require all foreign financial institutions, and that includes not just banks, but also pension funds, insurance companies, hedge funds, foreign trusts, and you name it, to file with the IRS every year any account information related to an American citizen or a U.S. person, as they officially say. This is an enormous burden on foreign financial institutions. One of the minimum estimates is that there are over 100,000 of these institutions. The IRS has delayed the beginning of this reporting period because they've recognized that the technical putting in place of compliance is so difficult. But the terms are now that they should sign up by June 30th, 2013, and that the reporting will begin the 1st of January, 2014. The other element of FATCA is that U.S. citizens who have foreign bank accounts or foreign relationships with foreign financial institutions must file starting this fiscal year, in other words, for our filing of the 1040 on April 15th next year in 2012 for 2011, a new form called the 8938, which details extensively all foreign financial investments. The stick linked to all of this is that if a foreign financial institution does not sign with the IRS, any transfer out of the United States to that foreign financial institution will have a 30% withholding on it. And that 30% withholding is not only on dividends and interests and other income revenue streams such as royalties, but also on the gross proceeds of sale of any asset. And if a bank does not sign up and or if they do not conform to any policy program they have signed up with the IRS, the penalty of this 30% can go to all U.S. transfers to that bank, not just transfers that we're aiming for the U.S. citizen, so that the foreign financial institutions see an enormous legal risk and a financial risk linked with FATCA.
Doesn't make American clients very attractive for these institutions.
You've hit the nail right on the head. We are already receiving many, many testimonies from Americans overseas who have been forced out of banking relationships overseas, even people who have had bank accounts for 20 years, 30 years overseas. This is already going on. It's going on primarily with investment accounts, but our big fear is that it will become standard practice for current accounts as the date approaches for the FATCA compliance.
Are the lawmakers in Washington simply out of touch with the realities of world banking and the problems of living abroad for American business people?
I think you're right. The IRS right now and the administration and Congress have one thing in mind, and that is called reporting, reporting, reporting. They're building up an enormous bureaucracy to carry this out, and that's all they can see. Right now, the government is obviously looking for money anywhere it can find it, and there are false claims by Senator Levin, among others, who says that there is $100 billion to be recuperated from Americans overseas. This is absolutely not true. My characterization of Congress is that it's a combination of ignorance and arrogance.
Well, you've used the term, and I believe others have used it, describing this legislation as American economic imperialism. Hard, tough words, but they seem appropriate.
It is. It is imperialism, and we're not the only ones who have used it. It's a unilateral imposition of U.S. law overseas, and they state specifically in the law that even if an individual or a bank has to break the laws of their local country in order to comply with the IRS agreement, they have to break those laws in the local country.
Now, I think we should point out here, and it's maybe not apparent to many people listening to this, that to simplify things a little bit, the United States of America is the only country of any significance in the world today that has a provision, a legal provision, requiring its citizens living abroad to file tax returns and under certain conditions even be liable to tax. This seems incredible to people, the Europeans I talk to, who say, that's crazy. You're taxed where you live. I mean, how can they tax you when you don't even live there? What are your comments about this? Who wants to take this one?
I'll take on this one. I'm Ann Hornung-Suka.
Go ahead, Ann.
And this is the major problem is the United States taxing its citizens or even green card holders, which people don't realize, wherever they live. And this has been a problem since the 1960s. It was introduced at the time as well to go after supposed wealthy Americans who were drinking champagne on a beach somewhere rather than the retired or hardworking Americans who are all over the world. And it's only gotten worse. The fact that this law has such unbelievable, unforeseen consequences has confirmed to us, and we've actually had confirmation on this from people very close to Congress. They had no idea of the consequences of this law. It sounded like a good idea. It was a way to go after revenue. Every bank would have to comply, and it would be easy. It's not only not easy, it's imperialism, as we've said. It imposes a burden on us, Americans overseas, which Americans in the United States do not have. It is bad for the United States because of investment coming up from overseas. Some institutions have already said they will no longer invest in anything in the United States, and some institutions have actually done that. So it's bad for America. It's very bad for Americans overseas. And it comes from a flaw in the tax, what we consider a basic underlying flaw in the tax code, which is we can tax people wherever they live. There is, if I can add, a bit of, or a rather major bit of hypocrisy on the part of the United States, because the United States is requesting every financial institution in the world to become an arm of the IRS and to turn in U.S. clients to the United States. But Mexico, for example, has requested for years, every year, they've requested that the United States turn over the names of Mexican clients in the United States who do not declare their accounts to Mexico. And, of course, the United States has not even responded to this request. So there is hypocrisy on this. We can even get into Delaware corporations, where individuals from all over the world can open up a Delaware corporation and not be declared in the United States. But the United States wants every financial institution worldwide to become an actual physical arm of the IRS and report directly to the IRS.
As Ann just said, there will be a serious disincentive for foreigners to invest in the United States. There is some $21 trillion of foreign money in the United States economy invested, of which a good half of this is in the securities market. So this in itself is one element which can influence. Another element is that small and medium-sized corporations which want to set up operations overseas, sales subsidiaries or partnerships, will find it extremely difficult. First of all, because as we said before, foreign banks are avoiding American clients right now, and any new client would find it very difficult to open up a foreign bank account, which is fundamental if you want to work overseas. In our opinion, this is very, very bad for the United States because it's cutting off future export potential. The third element is that American businessmen and entrepreneurs overseas who want to enter into partnerships with foreigners, which can also lead to increased exports for American products, these people are now being shut out of foreign partnerships or joint ventures because the foreigners do not want, part of the FATCA law, which I forgot to mention earlier, is that any foreign non-financial institution in which an American holds 10% of the partnership or the stock has to also report back to the IRS. So foreign partners don't want any Americans anymore. This is literally shutting Americans off of the free flow back and forth with foreigners.
In other words, FATCA is shooting American business in the foot.
Absolutely.
We have been talking so far largely about the strong economic arguments, and they're very persuasive. It seems a pity, really, that this is the only kind of talk, money and economics, that seem to impress people in Washington. Let's focus, Anne Hornung-Sukup, on the human factor here. Let's take an American who marries a foreign national, takes up residence in the foreign spouse's home country, is not a millionaire, has practically nothing in the bank. They marry and go abroad for romance, to start a family and have a simple life. Are there other Americans who retire in another place or just enjoy the adventure of living abroad? And bearing in mind that taxation is a serious issue, tax avoidance, tax evasion, is a really criminal act in the United States. It can put you behind bars. And some of the measures that can be taken against people are what I would call draconian. It seems to me that FATCA is potentially devastating for people like I've just described because it basically criminalizes innocent people.
You are absolutely correct, and we've had testimonials that are heartrending from all over the world. We had actually Spanish husbands contact us who were married to American wives who have been married living in Spain for many, many years and realizing the implications of FATCA and very, very draconian FBAR, we won't even go into that, requirements, The wives were distraught and crying. The husbands were distraught. Many, many foreign spouses of Americans living overseas are removing or asking their American spouses to remove them from their bank account, from joint bank accounts, so that the foreign spouse doesn't have a reporting requirement to the United States or will not be sucked into any risk of the fat cat 30% withholding tax on accounts which have nothing whatsoever to do with the United States. Totally overseas, earned overseas, belonging to overseas people. And we have stories which are absolutely heartbreaking. It's a very, very personal issue, and it's becoming worse and worse. I don't know if you're aware that the Canadian finance minister has written an open letter to major newspapers in the United States and to the Treasury Department and to the IRS, asking at least that Canada be considered a special case. Canada is not a typical tax evasion place. It's not a tax haven. And there are an estimated 1 million dual nationals, Canadian Americans, living in Canada. Many of the Americans, they are dual nationals. Many of them consider themselves entirely Canadians. They have no idea about FATCA. They have no idea about their reporting requirements. They're waking up now to the fact, as just as you say, that this is a criminal offense, that the penalties can be absolutely crippling. They can wipe out their pensions, their savings. People could be forced to sell houses. This is a personal, private, and very, very profound issue which many people in the United States have no clue about, have absolutely no clue about. And the ironic part of the Canadian situation is that Canadian tax rates are higher in general than the United States. These people have never owed any tax to the United States. And yet, because of penalties, because of the criminalization of what they consider tax evasion in the United States, which is more total ignorance, or in keeping with the other countries in the world which don't tax their citizens on a worldwide basis, people are being absolutely turned into automatic criminals.
We have to point out very clearly here, it's, I think, essential to point out that we're not talking about Americans abroad who are simply lying, as you mentioned before, lying on the beach sipping champagne, free of any taxation. We're talking about people who are paying taxes in many cases. For example, here in Europe, just about every European country I can think of has higher taxation than the United States. They are paying taxes. The issue is, why should they have to pay taxes to the United States where they don't even live, where they're not requiring any services, they're not putting any demand on the system? This is really the core issue, isn't it?
That's absolutely true. And we've been told even recently that the cost of holding an American passport is the taxes that you pay to the United States. But the United States is the only country that considers that its passport makes you liable to full taxation. We are asking that FATCA be repealed as bad law.
Mary Louise, let's look at this scenario, be pragmatic and possibly realistic. Assuming that FATCA will not be 100% repealed and rolled back, what is the possibility, do you think, that these poor, simple, ordinary Americans living abroad, not billionaires and millionaires, might get some kind of an exemption from FATCA? Is there any hope of this happening?
Well, right now, the way it stands, it doesn't look like there's any hope of FATCA being repealed, which is, as Anne said, what we're calling for. Obviously, another strategy, if FATCA does indeed remain law, and if it's not looked at with a practical eye from Washington as to who they're trying to get on this legislation, the next step strategy would be to say that anyone who is a bona fide resident overseas, any American, would be exempt from this.
Incidentally, Jackie, in August 2011, you sent a letter to Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner regarding FATCA. Obviously, you were very critical. Did you get a reaction? Did you get a reply?
I'm very sorry to say that of all the letters we have sent to the Department of Treasury, we have never received a reply.
Jackie, at the beginning of October 2011, you were in London to deliver a paper about FATCA to a group of international taxation experts. What was their reaction?
The reaction afterwards by the man who was conducting these meetings after the speech was wow. And people kind of laughed because it released some tension. Everybody there is against FATCA. Everybody realizes it's bad law. This has created a terrible impression from abroad of what the United States is. Everybody's viewing it as an overreach, and everybody understands they're very concerned about the legal implications, because the IRS can really basically call any shot it wants, can penalize anyone the way it wants. It's an open law which really can lead to abuse, and people are very, very nervous about it. We're working very seriously to build a coalition in the United States and overseas, and to put really increasing pressure on Congress on this issue.
Mary Louise, let's go and look at the human impact here again for a moment. I understand that many Americans are beginning to really worry about arbitrary detainment or even arrest the next time they travel back to the U.S. They go to the passport desk, the guy looks at the screen, looks up at him, and suddenly you're flanked by two gorillas who ask you to accompany them to the back room. How justified is that fear?
Well, the fear is out there, yes, because there's an incredible amount of uncertainty. People are worried. We get calls at the office all the time. We have testimonials that come in that attest to this. They're concerned because they don't know. You are presumed guilty, and you must prove yourself innocent. Interesting enough, said as that, given that we are the United States and the bastion of democracy. Yes. They are concerned. People are concerned.
Basically, and just in summary, for those Americans abroad who really don't know how to handle and deal with this issue, what is your quick advice? What is the standard advice you give them in dealing with their tax obligations to the United States?
Many people need professional information, professional help, assistance, which obviously is expensive. But some people who don't know their filing requirements, they really need to come up to date on it very quickly. I want to emphasize that ACA in no way supports tax cheats or tax evasion. We pay our taxes to the United States when we owe it. So any person who is not aware up until now, and there are still many, many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, all over the world who are not aware that they were supposed to be paying taxes to the United States, they must be aware. Ignorance is not an excuse. They need advice. They have to get back into order. So all I can give as advice is find professional help. Talk to people around you who know what's going on. See what you can do to get yourself back into compliance with the U.S. This is not advice, this is not something that I would suggest to anyone, but the only way out of the U.S. tax system is that you would rip up your U.S. Passport and never set foot in the United States again. This is not an option. For 99.9% of us extremely patriotic and loyal Americans living overseas, this is not an option. It's not something that we would even ever consider.
I might add to this that on the compliance issue, our website, which is www.americansabroad.org, O-R-G, has extensive information on filing requirements provided by different tax professionals, links to the IRS website, and we try to just give people channels where they can find the information they need.
Jackie, your best shot at this, in summary and as briefly as you can, what are the key arguments for repealing FATCA? Why is it bad for America and Americans abroad?
The first reason is that it is going to significantly discourage foreign investment in the United States. The second reason is that it's going to negatively impact, as we've already discussed, U.S. businesses operating in global markets. The third reason is that FATCA is not going to achieve its stated purpose, which is tracking down tax evaders, because the law is self-defeating. Not all institutions will sign up with the IRS. Therefore, there's a loophole already in the law. The fourth reason is that FATCA is not necessary to track down tax evaders because the IRS has many, many other tools at hand. And the recent prosecutions that they have made against individuals and financial intermediaries prove that they have the tools at hand. The next reason is that, as I said before, it's really turning Americans overseas into pariahs in the international world of finance. We are just simply being cut off from the banking world. The sixth reason is that FATCA discriminates ostensibly against American citizens residing overseas. The seventh reason is that it creates a very, very costly administrative nightmare for foreign financial institutions. It's estimated that for every potential dollar, additional dollar that the U.S. would earn from FATCA, the cost to the foreign financial institutions is $10 to $20. And in addition to the cost of foreign financial institutions, you have to add the cost to the IRS, which is going to be receiving this mountain of paper, and also the additional cost of filing for Americans overseas. And the last reason, as we said before, is that this is really an unacceptable manifestation of U.S. financial imperialism. It's not doing the United States any good to make enemies worldwide on this front. And all governments around the world are extremely upset by this one-way push of the United States.
Finally, I'd like to turn to Ron Banks. He's also in the ACA office there in Geneva. He's a director of ACA and responsible for media and public relations activities. Also responsible for very kindly arranging this discussion. A lot of work done there behind the scenes, Ron. Thank you so much for that. How much media interest have you found in the FATCA issue and indeed in the problems of Americans abroad in general?
We've had some local media interest. We have press releases that come out from time to time that's picked up across the media spectrum. But we look for as much media exposure that we can get because we feel this message is important. As you've heard before, it's bad for America and it's bad for Americans living overseas.
I think the story has been picked up and ACA has even been mentioned in publications as distinguished as Forbes, for example. I think some of the big publications stateside have picked it up. So presumably people in the know and people in influential positions will at least be exposed to the issue through that means.
Well, if you Google FATCA, you'll find ACA's activities coming up fairly high on the list. There's over 238,000 documents when you punch in FATCA on Google. And ACA is right up there at the top. So people can get information about FATCA and FBAR by visiting our website, if I may, which is www.americansabroad.org.
Is Americans Abroad one word?
That's correct.
Okay, americansabroad.org. And an alternative for those, especially in Switzerland, would be aca.ch, www.aca.ch.
Correct.
Ron Banks, an ACA director responsible for media and public relations. We've had Jackie Bunyon, director of ACA and a specialist in taxation. Mary Louise Serrato, the ACA executive director, and very knowledgeable about the human issues of FATCA, and Anne Hornung Suka, a specialist in banking and investment issues. Very knowledgeable people doing the best they can there at American Citizens Abroad, the worldwide headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland. FATCA, the American dream becomes a nightmare. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.